We had definitely the biggest international hybrid workshop I've ever been. And kudos especially to those who were contributing on Discord. So we had people chipping in on Discord, people chipping in face-to-face, and I couldn't possibly capture all of the information from that, which just shows you how fast things can snowball in a hybrid meeting, that we've actually already got the beginnings of the collaboration that I think that workshop was designed to succeed, which began before the session started. So well done for that. And that's been an eye-opener for me. And kudos also to RMIB for being that lightning rod for bringing all this energy together. And I really felt the energy in, on the buzzing phone in the pocket and face-to-face. So that worked really well. And thanks to Robin for getting all these hours. So we had a specific remit from Sonali, which I think was really helpful, which was just to validate the initial report, which most people had actually read, you'd be pleased to know. And I think there was a message that we'd like to unpack that and kind of be more evangelical about that. So we had a quick show of hands at the end, but the initial question was, would the industry benefit from the research proposals from the report? The first, which was to measure the usage and popularity of accessibility features. We got a big thumbs up for that. The second topic was to understand the economic and reputational impact of including more accessibility features. We got a thumbs up for that. That includes things like assessing market size and working out willingness to pay for games. The things we were told not to ask for, or that Apple would ask. But I think there is that kind of trade-off. I think there's still benefit from that. We'll come back to that. And then the last one was to understand the different middleware considerations and interdependencies of accessibility within the tech stack, which is a bit of a mouthful. But we actually got quite far into that. Within the first 10 minutes, we were discussing quite deep bits of tech. And then we went round the table online and in person, just going for the topics with kind of what team are you in, what topics are you in, and what technologies are you interested in. So the broad topics were genres such as MMORPGs for visual impairment, shooter genres, racing and action. So the kind of the hard stuff, everyone's really into doing research in that, not puzzles. Puzzles didn't come up, which is what I would have gone for. That's low-hanging fruit. Accessibility, though, that, you know, obviously that's a big drive, but translation, inclusion, and just actual grassroots research on disability, which is a theme that came up in the topic yesterday that Ben really articulated really nicely in our group. Funding routes was also mentioned. I think we shouldn't forget that there are actually funding routes for us to work together. This doesn't have to come from the devs just paying for this. That actually there's people like Welcome that will just pay for it. They'll support us and accessibility. So then we took a deep dive into some of the big challenges. Stop me if I go wrong, Robin. The biggest challenge of all is, can we just have a game that actually just goes from start to finish, that's just accessible, and there's no kind of shortcuts or deviations. It just works. So that's not actually too much to ask for when you think about it, if you design it from first principles. I think the question then is whether you do, as I say, start with puzzles and work up, or whether you just go for a really challenging game. We spent quite a lot of time discussing screen reading access in different parts of the games, which I think we heard a lot about today already, to understand how that would work in MMOs. And that is a big challenge, but you know, you've got to start somewhere. What would dynamic audio description look like? What would social dynamics look like? And then story-based description, you know, what would that be looking like in first-person walkers? And then in the narration of quest text, for example, in World of Warcraft, how is that story communicated? We're coming back to this big idea of information flow. What's the right amount of information, and how do you feed that to the user? But that's just generally something that we need to know in movies and all forms of storytelling. You can overload or you can regulate. If people crack that, it's gold, which comes back to that return of investment. For the CEO or the chief technical officer, if you figure out the right pace for your narrative, visually and audio, well, that's worth knowing. That is gold. We've got a lot of expertise in the collective on audio tools and how these can automatically rebalance. And then we kind of got into the whole thing, this tech stack thing, and whether there might be a little bit of buck passing in the organizations, like whose problem is it to fix that? So I think that's something for organizations to recognize and maybe just start to own that a bit more. I'll come back to that at the end. I think there are ways we can do that. MMOs, there was a recognition that some MMOs are just really complex. Robin's nodding here to my side that it may be just too complex. But there are, on the other hand, it's worth looking at responsive design patterns in UI. And Robin, did you want to just pick up on the whole return of investment thing?
Yeah, I think it's something you mentioned. I think there's an element of, it's already mentioned earlier during the symposium, that it's something that we know that this is what we should be doing. I mean, it's almost obvious. But I think it does come up that it can sometimes be useful to have that data to lean back on. So it was mentioned that the research into return on investment might be useful around decision making, for winning those arguments. So I think, again, it's true. I think we could have that emotional gut instinct. We know that this is what you're meant to do. As designers, as players, as gamers, we know it's the right answer. The harsh reality is, in a lot of business, at some point you've got to convince someone who doesn't know and then almost does not want to have to accept that that's true. So actually having that fundamental data, that bar chart, or that little bit of easy sales pitch can actually get things over the line. So what is that data that's needed? What is the mind that it's changed? Figuring that out might be helpful.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many of you have to bump up against the senior partner or the chief executives. And they'll sit through an amazing presentation. People put their heart and soul into a solid project. They say, yeah, but if I have a pound to spend, why should I spend it on your team? Why should I spend it on the other one? And it's just kind of crushing. But I think that's what Robin says. If you've got that, actually, this will multiply. I think the comment was, if you build it, we will buy it and play it. You know, actually, there's a market here, and they will play it. And actually, they'll play longer. They play harder, and they're going to share it more on social media, so your overall traction of your brand will increase. If you've got some solid stats for that, that's kind of gold, really. That really puts it right back on the CEO or the CTO. So I think that's quite a nice, strong way. There's a couple of other topics that came up. Yeah, just how we actually communicate features. There's some really good examples on the Discord of companies that actually will explain what accessibility features there are. So there are good examples. I haven't got my phone on, so I'm not going to be able to tell who they were, but it's in Discord Group 6. You'll find it in there. So you can actually identify true accessibility and how people get information on that. It's almost a research project on how you get research projects. And then it's going to be a research project to turn our research into research. but we will actually try and do, I think we could, well, maybe we won't do a word cloud, but if we just, we'll do a bit of a sum up and try and give that in a document so that could be an outcome. So just to kind of sum up, you know, measuring usability is well worth doing. The economic return of investment, I think we'll hold our noses. I think we need to do a bit of that. We just need to be able to live with the dark side. Middleware dependencies are really difficult, and that requires just teams within companies to work together. But the key, I think we've heard already today, is work with your end users. You've effectively got three user groups out there that will do that. But why wait till the end? Well, we discussed that and particularly recognized there are some companies that are not here because they're not allowed out to play with our gang, because they might bleed out some pixel from some game that would fix it. So there needs to be trust. But I think everyone in this room, and hopefully everybody online, does begin to trust this community, that we're all on the same general direction. We all want the same thing. I think potentially, if companies aren't comfortable going straight to a Discord group, the RNIB has kind of got an offer of a bit of a walled garden. You know, if you need NDAs, there's good practice on how to do that. So I think that's maybe something that we can actually work on to make the research easier, make the end users more accessible, and make that conversation earlier. I thought the keynotes today were showing that the games industry is bigger than Hollywood, probably because it is actually building in the accessibility early. Because games is a bigger industry than music and Bollywood combined. It's bigger. Well, why is that? Well, maybe because it's more responsive and more adaptive. So just to sum up, I think designing will be easier if it's more authentic. And the best way I think people can do that is to hire, either through free user testing or actually just hire people like Apple, we heard. They got a leading edge in tech development because they had somebody with visual impairment in the design team in the early noughties. So that the iPhone is as accessible as it is because, and Apple computers were, because they had somebody that was part of the problem. So Apple owned the problem. So if games companies own the problem, and imagine it's your niece, nephew, brother, sister that you're designing for, you will come up with better design. So I think that kind of sums up our research motivation there.